It's all your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. I'd like to pick up, I know it's been a couple of weeks, Lord's been putting other burdens on my heart. I'd like to conclude this morning a little series that we started on a little leaven, and I'd like us to refresh our memories by going and reading our text again found in 1 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse 6 through 8. It said, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let us therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And keep in mind, again, we have our two loaves of bread here. One of them has leaven in it. So it's puffy. It's pretty light. But this one right here is the same amount of dough, but there's no leaven. So this is just pure flour and water, the same consistency without leaven. And it's tight, it's solid, and you can see the difference that there is. The scripture said that we are to worship the Lord, to serve Him with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, as opposed to an experience that's full of leaven. And we have examined over a couple of weeks what that leaven was. The scripture here bears out that it was wickedness and malice. The scripture talks about leaven being evil, being hypocrisy, self-righteousness, and how just a little bit of those things in our life permeate the whole. And our whole experience with God is negatively affected with just a little bit of evil. Say, I'm doing good all over here, but I've allowed a little bit of the world, a little bit of wickedness. Or amongst us, we're holy, we believe in holiness, but a little bit of self-righteousness, it affects the whole experience that we have with God. So he said, let's purge ourselves. Let's purge our lives from that leaven. But I'd like us to focus this morning on what we are to be worshiping God with. How are we to serve the Lord? He said here in verse 8, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In other words, I'm sure the Passover was approaching when this was written, but he was encouraging them, in essence, not the literal bread that we eat, but in our worship to God, let our worship be based on sincerity and let it be based on truth. Let us worship the Lord in sincerity and truth, not with the old covenant. That was also some of the leaven that we've already talked about. The old covenant, false doctrine. But yet, the sincerity and truth is what is going to be acceptable worship to the Lord. And we can say, what is acceptable to God? How are we supposed to worship God? The Lord is looking for individuals who are worshiping Him, yes, in spirit and in truth, as Jesus said, but in sincerity and in truth. So what is sincerity? If this is the unleavened bread, in other words, we're not puffed up, we're not tainted, but we are holy and pure and one for the Lord. We need to know what he's talking about here. What is sincerity? Sincerity is, by definition in the Greek, is purity. And purity is homogeneous. It means the same throughout. It's oneness. The Greek bears out, actually the Latin bears out, the word sincerity means without wax. Without wax. And what he's talking about is that in ancient days, in Bible times, merchants would sell porcelain that was very valuable. And when they would fire this, if they weren't careful, it would crack the porcelain. And so they would go and they would take white wax and they'd rub it over and fill in those cracks. And so you'd look at it and think that it was all well made. But they used that wax to cover it up. And so then, the merchants that had porcelain that didn't have wax on it, there's nothing covered, they would sell it, and in the market they would call, let me get this right, sincera. In other words, without wax. And so the only way you could tell, you'd go get that porcelain and you would hold it up to the sun to see the, where the glints were and see if you could find the sun working its way through those cracks that the wax had covered up. So the Lord wants you to serve Him without wax this morning. That's the acceptable way to serve the Lord. Not covering up the flaws, not covering up self-righteousness, not covering up iniquity, not covering up all of that old leaven, but rather He wants us to serve Him sincerely. That this is who we are. No shame, no hypocrisy. You see what you get. You know, some people serve the Lord and they serve Him based on the outcome of the moment. I think about hearing about someone that they would tell their children, and I highly advise against this. On the way to prayer meeting, they'd say, "Children, if you testify, we'll get you ice cream after service." Do you know that that breeds hypocrisy? Because if I'm 13 years old and I'm not saved, or I'm 15 years old and I'm not saved, I don't love the Lord, but I'll tell you what, if I can get ice cream, I can stand up and testify, say, "I thank the Lord that I'm saved," and sit down, I've got ice cream. You see, we can begin to foster or breed hypocrisy. For the moment, see? For the moment, in other words, depending on who's watching you, depending on what you can get out of it, there have been many people that they get caught in their actions. They get caught in their sin, and all of a sudden, "I'm so sorry." And they cry, and they, "I'm so sorry, forgive me. Would you pray with me?" And they'll go to the altar. The people, not everybody that goes down to the altar sincerely. They go to the altar, and they can cry, and they can say they're sorry, and all they're trying to do is, "I don't want to get in trouble by mom and dad." And their hearts will be softened if I go to the altar and cry. Or maybe there have been husbands that have abused their wives, and after every time, "I'm sorry, honey, I'll never do it again." But yet they do it again. The Lord is teaching us, "I want you to serve me with sincerity. I want it to be genuine." Because if our service to God is not genuine, what's the value of it? We can come to service, and if we're not genuine, then we can act one way when we're in front of God's people. But when I get home on Monday, or I get somewhere on Tuesday, and I'm off on my own, I'll live differently. Do you realize that's serving God with wax? In other words, it's not because you're just covering things up, and based on who's watching me, I'll act differently. The scripture teaches in Revelation, speaking of the saints, it said we stand upon a sea of glass. We stand upon the word of God, but it also would be transparency. That when I come and if you hear me say, "This is what I believe," that you can know that's how I'm living. It doesn't matter who's watching me. It doesn't matter who's looking. It doesn't matter, I want all the saints to think I'm pretty whole. Now there's a little leaven of self-righteousness in that, isn't there? But yet, you see, it's easy for people to begin to cover up and not be genuine their experience. Joshua told the children of Israel, you'll find it in Joshua 24:14, but his exhortation to the children of Israel was, he said, "Let us now, therefore, serve the Lord in what? In sincerity and in truth." It kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Serve Him. How are we to serve the Lord? In sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods of your fathers, which they served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. In other words, if you're really sincere and you're sincere in truth, you're going to start putting away the things that God's not pleased with. If you're really sincere in serving the Lord, it's not about what everybody thinks about me in the congregation. This is about a personal relationship with God. There have been people, and I want you to understand there's a balance in this. There are some things that I may not understand. And when I come among God's people, and I hear how they preach, and I see how they live, and I see God's blessings, there may be some things that I don't understand. And there is wisdom in saying, if this is working for you, I don't understand it all right now, but I'm willing to measure to that And I'm going to seek God to give me revelation that I can understand. But on the other hand, I've seen people come in and say, just tell me what to do. I'll just do anything you say. That concerns me a little bit. Because it's really not about you conforming to what I say. It's about you having such a personal relationship with God that the reason I live this way is because I'm sincere in my service to God. Because if I don't really believe it, I'll act one way around you all and I'll go home and I'll act differently. Sincerity is genuine. And so it goes beyond just what people think. It goes beyond trying to please people. And again, I know there are things probably in all of our lives that we can say, I don't want it to be a stumbling block to my brother. That's biblical. And so I'm willing to give it up. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block. And I don't want to be a reproach in maybe how 90% of y'all think. And I really don't think that's a problem. But I don't want to be a hindrance. And so, Lord, in the sincerity of my heart, I put that thing on the altar. That does not mean you're a hypocrite. It doesn't make us hypocrites to say, I don't think there's anything wrong with this. But I know most of my brothers and sisters do. And for the sake of peace and unity, I'm willing to lay it down. There's a place biblically to do that. But if the wholeness of our experience with God is just based on pleasing everybody, we're going to miss out on that relationship with God and we're never going to be satisfied because we're always going to be measuring ourselves by what are they thinking? Oh, what do they expect of me? And so the scripture saying, serve the Lord in sincerity. Be genuine. I would, and the Lord's been talking to me about this, may address it another time. But Ananias and Sapphira was mentioned this morning in the Sunday school with the children. There was a fear upon the church because of hypocrisy. The opposite of hypocrisy would be genuine. Just this is who I am. This is what I believe. This is how I live. There ought to be a fear on us to be hypocrites. That we're not hypocrites. When we start covering up again, sincerity. Sincere. See? Sincere. That's what we're selling this porcelain at. We didn't have to take the wax and cover up the crack. You can put it up to the sun. What's the sun represent? Christ, doesn't it? No, a little analogy here. We can take our lives and put it up to the sun, and we don't see any cracks. Because it's real. It's genuine. Nothing's being covered up. Examine this morning your sincerity. Why do you live like this? What's the standards that you have in your personal life? What's the foundation of it? You see, we can cover things up. I know and have heard of congregations, ministers and congregations in other countries that the missionary comes and they can go change their clothes and they can look, you know, they can modest up. And they can say the right words. I'll tell you what, I've met people that have so much sin in their life and they can out-talk you all scripturally. They know the Word of God. They know the Bible. They can quote Scripture. And you will sit back in awe thinking, wow, what a man of God. But guess what? When you're gone, you get a report of what they're doing. You wonder what. There's no sincerity there. It's hypocrisy. There's no sincerity. In other words, they're covering up based on who's around, based on what's going on. Folks, people can pull the wool over our eyes sometimes. We can be fooled. We're human. But you know, none of us can really fool God this morning. And He's exhorting us, let's serve the Lord with unleavened bread. Let's get rid of the puff. Let's get down. Let's be a sincere people, whole throughout, without hypocrisy. And, you know, sometimes I think this would take away some of the shame and reproach that people feel with the gospel. You say, oh, I'm afraid if people say, well, why do you do that? Or I'm afraid the preacher's going to get on a certain subject and I'm going to be ashamed of it. Why would I be ashamed if it's what I believe? And sometimes I think we really need to examine our own life and say, what do we believe? I mean, do we really believe the way we're living? If this is just about tradition, the standards, the walk with God that we have this morning, I'd say we're just wasting our time. That's how I feel. And nothing is wrong with traditions, and there are good traditions, but there is a foundation for those that if we forget the foundation, we do become a wax museum. So an era of the past. And we come and where's the joy? Where's the happiness? Where's the anointing? Where's the victory? It only comes when this starts to be personal. That, Lord, I live like I do because I believe it's right. And then when it's preached about, or when people come and they see your mom or your dad or your brothers and sisters and they see how they live and how they act, I don't need to be ashamed because I believe that way. See, it's more than just something that's been handed down to me. This is personal now. It's without wax. That's who I am. And when you believe it, then you don't have to be ashamed. But when we start to feel a little bit of shame, we need to put our life up to the light. And see if we're living without wax, living sincerely. Grace be with them, all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Ephesians 6:24. You want grace this morning? You want the grace of God working in your life? Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Not a fake love. Not a, consider the, again, I probably shared this, but I heard about a young man a couple years ago. He had a Monarch girlfriend, he had a work girlfriend, and he had a school girlfriend. And I wonder how genuine was that? You know, how genuine, you know what I'm talking about. How genuine was that? It depended on wherever he was. Oh, this is the love of my life. How genuine is that? The Lord wants us to serve Him with sincerity, trueness, genuine. True love is about pureness. There's no ulterior motives. You see, it's not trying to work the system. Folks, let's not try to do that with God this morning. Let's not try to work the system with God, whether it's theology or doctrinally or any other way. Let's not play games with God. He knows our heart and He's exhorting us. Let's get rid of the old leaven and let's worship Him. Let's serve Him with pureness, without the puff. This is genuine bread now. This is water and it's flour. Flour and water. It's the same throughout. That's how the Lord wants your life with God. It's how God wants our experience to be. And it's not just about doing the right thing then, right? Have you ever done the right thing for the wrong reason? Is there anybody besides me that's done the right thing for the wrong reason? All right, there's two of them, three of them. Okay. It's kind of like that testifying thing, I'll give you ice cream. The Lord is interested in all of us in doing the right thing. Let's do the right thing. But understand, the Lord is looking at our hearts. And there is a king, and we won't take the time to read it, but Amaziah in 2 Chronicles 25, he said he did that which was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. In other words, the outward actions that he was doing, they were right, and it was true, but his heart was not right. It wasn't sincere. The Lord wants us to do the right thing, but folks, the Lord is interested in our motivation. He's interested in our intent. He's interested in why we're doing what we're doing. And He wants us to be genuine with it, Lord. And that's why it's our right to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand this. Or Lord, I'm struggling with this in my life. That's genuine. That's sincere. I would much rather someone say, you know what? I'm not there yet. Or you know what? I recognize I've got a problem in my life and I know I'm not measured up to the scripture there. I know I'm not there. That gives God some room to work. It gives the Lord something to work with. But if I try to cover it up and say, yes, well, I'm serving the Lord, then I've got all this waxed out. It's not genuine. It's not sincere. The Lord can work with us when we are sincere and honest before God. That's when the Lord can begin to lead us and direct us. Paul was someone who was sincere, wasn't he? Saul. Let's go back. Saul. Now we're going to move on to the second part. He said to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Folks, sincerity needs to be married with truth this morning. Because Saul was sincere when he was persecuting the Christians. He believed that what he was doing was acceptable to God. And my question to you is this, if Saul would have died, would have he gone to heaven? He referred to himself in that condition as the chief of sinners. Because he was out working contrary to the cause of God. But he was sincere. He believed what he was doing. So sincerity by itself is not enough. We live in a society that values sincerity. Don't, frankly, and maybe this sounds too strong. If it's too strong for your palate, forgive me. I hate insincerity. Voluntary humility. There are people that are so suave in what they say to your face, and later they do other things. You're thinking, wait, there's some inconsistencies here. You know, that doesn't work. I don't like insincerity. Beware of the flatterer. The proverb speaks about that. Beware of the man with the flattering tongue, see? There's some insincerity there. Flattery. That's what flattery is about. It's making you feel good, but I don't feel it in my heart, and I'll just butter you up on the outside. But when I go and express what I really think, see? Sincerity, folks, is valued. But I want us to also understand sincerity will not get us to heaven. Is that right? We live in a world that, well, let me just say this. Hell, you've heard the little phrase, hell is paved with good intentions. It's paved. Well, sincerity, folks, alone will not get us because people can be sincere about the wrong thing. I'd like to read you in Romans 10. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Talking about the Jews. This is my desire, this is my prayer for Israel, that they might be saved. Okay, so he was just saying they're not saved. My prayer is that they would be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Folks, the Jews' difficulty was not that they lacked fervor. It wasn't that they lacked zeal or sincerity. It was they were zealous about the wrong thing. They were going about trying to establish their own righteousness, and they believed what they were doing was right. But they still need to be saved. We live in a world that says, that values sincerity to the point, have you not heard people say, well, they're really sincere. As if that justifies how they live. They're really sincere. Sincerity is valuable. We can't serve God acceptably without it, folks. But I want us to know that sincerity has to be married to truth for acceptance to God. We live in a time where truth is despised. You see, sincerity is esteemed. Truth is despised. Doctrine is taboo. Now let's not talk about doctrine or things that might tend to start separating a little bit. But we're all sincere. We all want to go to heaven. We're all going the same place. Folks, sincerity doesn't get by itself. It has to be married and coupled with truth. Because is not the Muslim terrorist sincere in his views? A lot of them, probably not all of them either. I imagine there are some real hypocrites that blow themselves up. But Islamic hypocrites. But do you know there are those that they believe, this is what I believe. And we say, oh, well, they're sincere, they're sincere. As if that excuses what they do. Do you realize that the same thing applies to professing Christians today? And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if anybody just says they're a Christian. We say, well, they're sincere. I'm glad they're sincere, but so is the Muslim. Sincerity must be coupled with truth. Don't confuse sincerity with truth. Woe unto them that call evil good. And good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We live in a time where it seems sincerity trumps everything else. But folks, it is a fallacy. It is a fallacy to think that if we seek truth and reality sincerely, that our sincerity guarantees that we arrive at our goal. In other words, if we get out on the interstate and we are sincere about reaching Joplin, I'm going to Joplin, I need to go, I want to go, and by God's grace, I'm willing to pay whatever price to go, and I'm going to Joplin. And I get on the road going east. I am sincere in where I'm headed. I'm headed to Joplin. Am I going to get to Joplin? Don't people do this with God, though? I'm sincere. Sincerity will still take us to hell unless we couple it with truth. Get on the right road. And so then we couple it with truth and say, Lord, I was sincere and I wanted to please you, but I recognize now it wasn't truth. Sincerity won't get us there, but folks, you marry it with truth and you'll make it. And if there's anything in our life that is contrary to God's will, He will be faithful to show us that. I do not believe this morning that any of us, and that's not just us in these four walls, I don't believe anybody in the world is going to have any surprises when they stand before the judgment. I don't believe it. Because the Spirit of the Lord is faithful to deal with every man. Now, when we override the dealings of the Spirit, we can get callous to the point that we don't feel bad about heading that way saying we're going to Joplin. But the Lord will bring back to our minds the time that He showed us the road sign that said St. Louis. 150 miles. And we looked kind of behind us and saw the sign for Joplin going the other way. He will remind us of that time in our life that He said, you're on the wrong road. Your sincerity then will not get it. We may sincerely believe. You get in a plane and you may sincerely believe that it will not crash. But is your sincerity going to guarantee that that plane doesn't crash? You see, our most deeply held beliefs have no effect, or our deeply held sincerity has no effect on the reality of God. God's truth stands on its own merits. God's truth this morning stands independent of your opinion. God's truth stands independent of what I think about it. And we can get around and have discussion, well, I think and I think and I think, but my I thinks aren't going to get us to heaven. It's God's Word. It's forever settled. It's unchanging and it's fixed. You know, the Scripture teaches us that to be carnally minded is what? It's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In other words, we need to get beyond having a carnal mind, because in the flesh, we want to do what feels good and seems right and looks right and acts right. But are we judging our sincerity based on the carnal mind or based on a spiritual mind? The spiritual mind is that mind that is based on God's word. In the whole thing. It's not, well, yes, I'll take Matthew and in a few of those chapters, but you get over in some of Peter and some of Timothy, let's just kind of leave that one alone. But I'm sincere. I love God with all of my heart. And I'll be there on work day and I'll praise and I'll shout and I'll testify. And I'm sincere. I'm a good citizen. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good trustee. I'm a good Sunday school teacher. Gotta be coupled with. Is this right? Eat the whole book, bitter and the sweet, all of it together. Human nature wants to do what feels good on the flesh. But folks, as we examine our sincerity, it's important. But let's not neglect it. To make it to heaven, acceptable worship is with sincerity and in truth. Jesus said this over in John 17 and 17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So then we need to come back down to the foundations of what we believe, of what we teach, of how we live, and say, I'm sincere in serving the Lord, but Lord, I know my way won't get me to heaven. And so I'm willing, I want to take the narrow way. If the Bible teaches it, amen, Lord, I'll measure to it. And if it doesn't spell it out, there are some things that are not spelled out in black and white in the Word of God. We call those hot button issues, some of them, right? We can have all the ministers meeting, all the votes we want. It's not going to change God's Word. Is that right? You can vote yay or nay. It doesn't affect God. His truth is still there, whether the ministers agree or not. Which means in your heart, in your relationship with God, it's really almost immaterial what everybody else thinks. But what you're going to measure to is, what does the Bible teach? And I say, you know, the Bible doesn't spell it out, but I began to look at the principles of the Word. I began to look at how these things affect the decisions I'm making. How does it affect me spiritually? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it lovely? Is it good? Is it a good example? Is it something that will draw people to the Lord if they follow my example? Or is it something that starts to drive wedges in people's life? It doesn't matter what the preacher says or doesn't say then. It's an issue of truth, principle in your life. Because if I made a list on the board of all the gray areas, and I said, stay away from this, that, and the other, and don't do this. And we warn about those things sometimes, folks. Told you the other Wednesday night, the proof's in the pudding. You better listen when a Holy Ghost-filled minister warns you about some of those gray areas. Because there's evidence to back up the reason why they're dangerous. But at the same time, when it comes down to your personal decisions, you're going to have to get down to business with God for yourself. Because I can't get you to heaven. And I can't keep you out either. Sincerity and truth. We're sanctified through the truth, folks. By the truth. There's more that can be said. I believe the Lord's done. By the truth and sell it not. In other words, buy at whatever expense to yourself. Hold on to the truth. And you say, well, I was raised this way, and I was taught this, and this one was taught that, and this church teaches one thing, and another church has teach something else. Folks, we're going to stand before God and give an account for ourselves, and by God's grace, my desire and my purpose, individually for my family, and I'll say for the congregation, is that our lives be based on truth. And if the Word of God teaches it, if the principle's there, that's what we want to stand among us, because when people come to that with sincerity, we'll make it to heaven. This is where it's at, folks, but it comes down again to your personal walk with God. So let's purge ourselves from the old leaven, and let's worship the Lord in spirit. Well, I said in spirit, it is in spirit and truth, but let's serve Him in sincerity, without wax. Without covering, but just whole and genuine, heartfelt service, heartfelt love, and then couple it, marry it with truth. This is what the Bible teaches. This is the principle upon I'm using to make the decisions of my life. Amen.